Genesis chapter 37 is where I want you to look with me this morning. Genesis 37, am I on? Doesn't sound like I'm on. Okay. I want to thank Dr. Walter Grubb for inviting me to come and say the opening prayer at the football game this past week at King's Academy and Grace Christian Academy. He was a great host until the game started. And then after the game started, something happened. I don't know what it was, but I had a great time there. Just amazing to see two great schools like that dedicated to the Great Commission and making disciples. I mean, I think that's the future of Christianity, the future of the world. And so I'm so privileged. Thank you, Walter, for allowing me to be a part of that time there. The power of a vision. All of us will remember what happened this past Monday, August 21st, 2017. Well, most of you will remember where you were. You know, 20 years from now, you say, well, when that happened, here's where I was, and all of that. So you'll remember that date, August 21st, 2017. But does anyone here remember the date, August 21st, 1949? Nobody. Nobody remembers what happened on August the 21st, 1949? It's amazing because all of our lives, everybody in this room without exception, all of our lives have been influenced by what took place on that date. 68 years ago. And your life is different today because of what took place on that day. What was the world like in 1949? Well, the average house sold for $7,450. Wow, you can't get a car for that nowadays, can you? That was a house. The average wage, though, was $2,950 in 1949. The cost of a gallon of gasoline was 17 cents, but a new car was $1,420. In 1949, the USSR conducted its first nuclear bomb test. It's only 4 or 5 years after the war, the Second World War ended. The first photo of a human gene was made in 1949. The trial of war criminals for World War II began in Nuremberg, Germany in 1949, and the Berlin blockade, which I remember a little bit about, ended in 1949. RCA introduced the 45 RPM record just in time for the birth of rock and roll. Praise the Lord, you know. That's where I grew up in the 50s, almost grew up, should have grown up. First Polaroid camera was sold in 1949. Silly Putty was introduced into the hands of children and the carpets of homes all across America. University of Kentucky won the NCAA basketball tournament again. UT football team had a record of 7 wins, 2 losses, and 1 tie. They lost to Duke and they lost to Georgia Tech. I hope that's not a bad omen for us this year. And they tied with Alabama. People were singing songs in 1949 like Ghost Riders in the Sky. Don't you love that? Not the way I sing it. But, how about Mule Train by Frankie Lane? Don't you remember hear that? And a snap boom. Yeah, some of you don't remember that, but those around, you've heard it. How about Some Enchanted Evening? Of course, that was started then. And everybody knows this one. All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. 1949. You know what else started? Blount County, Tennessee was a small rural area on the edge of the Smoky Mountains with approximately 54,000 people in it. In the city of Maryville, a handful of people gathered together on August the 21st, 1949, to give birth to a new fellowship of believers that they would call Madison Avenue Baptist Church. Sunday afternoon, August 21st, 1949, was a date set for the meeting and the group in the tent for the event. The following men served as the organizational presbytery: Reverend W.R. Tetteller, Reverend I.S. Perkey, Reverend Sidney Staley Sr., Reverend J.H. Stogner,
Reverend Jesse Bruner, Reverend Orville Valentine, Brothers Lavater C. Maples, T.H. Stanley, and Homer Burns. Only three prospective members had brought their church letters with them and therefore were the only ones eligible to become the charter members of the church. They were Reverend and Mrs. Ray T. Myers, with letters of recommendation from Laurel Bank Baptist Church, and Mrs. Geraldine Stennett Kirby, with her letter from Gum Stand Baptist Church of Sevier County. Reverend W.R. Tetfeller of Knoxville served as moderator for the meeting. The articles of faith were presented by Reverend Sidney Staley, Sr., and the church covenant was presented by Reverend Jesse Bruner. Both were accepted by the charter members, and the moderator declared the group a missionary Baptist church. The ordinance prayer was given by Reverend I.S. Perkey. Reverend Orville Valentine of Knoxville served as clerk. Others who joined under the watch care of the church until they could get their letters were W.H. Crisp, Tom Justice, E.C. Moore, Alan Allison, and Margaret Justice. Mrs. W.H. Crisp and Helen Crisp presented themselves as candidates for baptism. August 21st, 1949. What really happened on that date? What was it that really happened on that date that all of you need to know and you need to remember? Because if you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat the failures of history. What really happened? From my count, it was 19 people that day gave birth to a vision, and that vision was called Madison Avenue Baptist Church. That's what happened on that day. I don't know if any of the charter members are still around. Who witnessed the birth of that vision. But you know it came out of revival? How many of you knew that? But see, on that date, a revival was held for 6 weeks. 6 weeks straight. All they did was pitch a tent on this property, and then for 6 weeks they preached the gospel. You know how many people were saved in 6 weeks? 75. How long has it been since you have baptized 75 or seen 75 people make a profession of faith? 6 weeks. So I don't know if any of the charter members who witnessed the birth are still alive, but the vision they gave birth to, I guarantee you, is still alive, and it is even greater today than it was back then. Even greater today. I want to continue my focus on leadership today by looking at the visions of one of the most successful leaders in the Bible, and his name is Joseph. Joseph had a vision. He had a vision, and God blessed that vision, and that vision impacted all of us, just like what happened on August 21st, 1949, has impacted all of us as well. So what we learned from those 19 people in 1949, and what we learned from the life of Joseph thousands of years ago, is the power of a vision. The power that a vision has to transform lives, to literally change the world. That's what a vision does. That's why it's so important that you understand the vision that God has for your church. Joseph was a man whose whole life was fashioned and formed around the vision God gave him as a boy. You all know this verse, where there is no vision, the people perish, right? We've all heard that. And that is absolutely, the Bible is so clear. If you don't have a vision, you're dying. If you don't, when you forget your vision, you're dying. And so you have to have a vision in all parts of your life, not just in church. You have to have a vision or else you're dying. You don't stay the same. You're either living or you're dying, one or the other. The Hebrew word for vision means this, literally, to mentally perceive or to contemplate. Mentally perceive or contemplate. You know what that says to me? Have you ever said to somebody, you know, I've been thinking. I've been mentally contemplating. I'm trying to perceive something. I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking about, let me ask you, what if we did this? Or what could we do if we did this? Or how would we be next year if this took place? Contemplate. You're thinking, you're perceiving. That's what a vision is. That's all a vision is. That's how it begins. That's how it comes to us. It's a thought. It's an idea that we contemplate. God often reveals his visions in that way. He plants a thought in our minds. And those who have the spiritual ears to hear God and the spiritual sensitivity to respond to God are what we call visionaries. People who can see something before it ever happened. When they were building Disney World, Walt Disney had that vision to do that, but he died before it was completed. When it was completed, they were having a big celebration, and someone was standing beside Walt Disney's brother and said, "Boy, isn't it a shame that Walt's not here to see it?" And the response was, "Walt saw it before any of us saw it." See, Disneyland, Disney World, nothing but a result of the vision of a man named Walt Disney. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It has that kind of power. The word translated, though, as perish means literally to go back. So that word means to go back. So if you miss your vision, or if you refuse to follow your vision that God's given to you, what you do then is perish. It means you go back to the way you were without God. You go back to following your own will and your own ways and what you wanted, rather than get into the middle of where God wants you to be and experience the vision and the blessings that God gives to us because of that. Vision is vital. Vision is absolutely vital to your life. It's absolutely vital to the life of your church. So let's learn about the power of a vision from a boy whose vision literally changed his world at that time and continues to impact the world, and that's Joseph. Let's stand together as we read in the book of Genesis, in chapter 37, beginning in verse 1. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. That's the promised land. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. He was a tattletale. And now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. That's always a problem in a family. Because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him, and they could not speak a kind word to him. But Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." And his brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Some people don't have the ability to hear a vision. They don't have the spiritual sensitivity to know when God is up to something. Verse 9, and then he had another dream. And he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." And when he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you have? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Amen. You may be seated. The first thing I want you to see is who the giver of the vision is. The giver of the vision is very, very important. Whoever tells you something, you want to consider, first of all, who the person is telling you. And so the giver of the vision is what you need to look at, first of all. God's plan was to protect his chosen people who are living in the land of Canaan from a disastrous famine that's going to come in the years ahead. God knows what's coming. He's planned that. He's even allowed it to happen. And so it's going to happen. He wants someone in the fertile land of Egypt as his instrument to save his people, his chosen people, from the famine that is coming in the future. And that's where we read that a young boy named Joseph, who's living in Canaan, he had a dream. It wasn't the result of some bad stew that he had had the night before. It wasn't about the heat of the desert. He had gotten overheated and he saw something. What we know is that it was the vision of God. How do I know that it was the vision of God? Because it wasn't Joseph's vision. The vision, he did not begin with Joseph's dream. It began in the heart of God. It was in the heart of God where God shared it with a young boy who didn't really understand. God gave him a vision so big that he couldn't understand it, and gave him a vision so big his brothers wouldn't accept it. It was way too much for them. We can't ever do that. That's never going to happen. I'm never going to bow down to you. I don't care what you say. And so they couldn't grasp hold of it. It was so huge. It wasn't a vision that was going to be realized the next day or even the next year. It was going to be years down the road. It was only even going to happen in another country outside of all that they knew at that time. But it was going to be a vision from the God of creation that would impact the entire world. The vision for Madison Avenue Baptist Church was born in 1949, but it was not the vision of a few individuals back then, and it isn't the vision of hundreds of members of Madison Avenue Baptist Church today. Never forget this. The vision for Madison Avenue Baptist Church was, is, and always will be God's vision for the people that He brings into this fellowship. It's God's vision. It's not about you, not about your vision. Do you think that the people in 1949 saw a vision of a sanctuary like this? Seating 700, 800, do you think they had even a concept that that would ever happen on this property? Your Family Life Center, do you think that? That they ever thought there would be a Family Life Center? You know what the first building was? I hope you've seen a picture of it. First thing I always did when I went to a new church was I sat down and read their history. I wanted to find out what kind of people they were and where they came from. And what they did and how they did it. Right. There should be pictures. I've seen the picture of the first building that they built was 2 years after they started this church in 1949. It was 40 by 60. We could probably just about fit it on this stage, I imagine. 40 by 60, probably just about like this stage up here. And they were thrilled with it. They were thrilled. Their first building. And people were coming, and people were still being saved, and everything was happening, and they were so excited. They just knew it was God's vision, and God was moving along the way. When I was called to Grace Baptist Church in 1988, no Baptist church in East Tennessee that I knew of was averaging 2,000 people. In my little mind, I always had thought 1,000 people is a big church. 1,000 people is a big church, and so I just knew one day we were going to see that. I never could see the idea that on one Easter Sunday we'd have 6,000 people. Never saw those kinds of things happening. That God's vision is always so much larger than anything that you and I could ever come up with, because He's God, and He has all the power, and we don't. Our only power is to follow Him and be able to understand the vision that He's given to us along the way. Here's my point. If it's God's vision, it will always be greater than any of us can see. The ministry of this church is greater and more important than any of us. That's why we need to keep reminding ourselves repeatedly, it isn't about you, it isn't about me, it's all about God, right? I want you to say that with me. It isn't about me. Say it. It isn't about me. Look at your neighbor next to you and say, it isn't about you either. All right. Don't ever forget that. It's not about you. It's not about anybody else here. You and I are just keepers of the vision. We're keepers of the fire. We need to make sure it's stocked. We need to make sure it's dry. We need to make sure it's kept going. And we don't allow anything to be able to come into us and overcome us. The responsibility of keeping God's vision alive in this place has fallen upon you as members of Madison Avenue Baptist Church today. Where this church will be 5 years from today is dependent, is very dependent upon how well you respond to the next phase of God's vision for this church. It's happening now. What's going to happen 5 years from now is happening now. It's happening in your life. It's happening in your relationship with other people in this fellowship. It's happening in what you are willing to commit to the Lord and what you're willing to serve. Everything that's going to happen 5 years from now is taking place right now. The seeds are planted and the seeds are moving in one way or another. I hope you always feel the amazing responsibility as people who are keepers of the vision that God has given to this church over the last 68 years. He's the giver of the vision. But now I want you to understand the receiver of the vision, the one who receives the vision. He's the leader with the vision. What kind of man or woman do you have to be to receive a vision from God? Well, Joseph wasn't a super spiritual guy. He was just a young boy. He was a gifted young man, no doubt. The Bible says he was bright. He was good looking. But he wasn't a superhuman individual in any way. In fact, his immaturity shined as he was a tattletale against his brother and as he did all kinds of things to be able to irritate them and frustrate them. That was very immature in many cases. And the special treatment he got from his father caused his brothers to hate him. But his best asset and what allowed him to become a great leader was his ability to hear and his willingness to receive and then follow the vision that God had given to him in his dream. That was his strength. That was his greatness. Your greatness is based upon your ability to be able to follow the vision God's given you for your life. Before every great undertaking, there is a vision given to someone. Someone had a vision before every great undertaking in this world. Every great leader is a visionary. Every great leader can see down the road. Every great leader can see around the corner of tomorrow. And they can begin to see what could be, what could should be, what might be, what may be. They can see that. And that's what motivates them to keep on going and to keep on moving in the right direction. George Washington was a great leader because he could see the vision of what those original 13 colonies would become in the year 2017. Abraham Lincoln was a great leader because he could see the vision of freedom for people of all races in America. Martin Luther King Jr. was a great leader because he had seen the vision of what God wanted for his people and for America. Your greatness and your potential in life is not determined by your bank account. It's not determined by what is parked inside your garage. It's not even by your ability. It is about simply your ability to be a receiver of God's vision for your life, for your family, for your church, and for your world. How you see your vision is what determines your future. Your greatness and potential in life are not by those other things. You're a blessed people today. You know why you're a blessed people? Because of how those 19 people who preceded you responded to God's vision. You would not be here without them. I love that song that says we're standing on the shoulders, you know, of other people. And so may all who go come behind us find us faithful. All right. So you're looking back at some faithful people. Were they perfect? No. Did they make mistakes? Absolutely, just like you and I do. But they were faithful to the vision, and God was able to bless that small little amount of faith they had to be able to move mountains of doubt and mountains of issues and problems on the way. Those people received God's vision, and then they worked hard and they sacrificed much to be able to fulfill it. So we need to be thankful for those visionaries that have made all of our lives better today here at Madison Avenue Baptist Church. Why don't you give them a hand this morning? Just a praise hand for those people that you never met, Above my head are electric lights. Thank you, Thomas Edison, for having a vision about a light bulb. My life is blessed. I have a car out in the parking lot, and we ought to be able, and it'll take me anywhere I want to go. Wherever I want to steer it, it'll take me most of the time. Okay. And so I want to say thank you, Henry Ford, for having a vision of putting an automobile in the hands of average people like me. In my office are many books of people who are much smarter than me and know much more than I do. And I want to say thank you, Mark Twain, and John Maxwell, and John Steinbeck. Thank you, C.S. Lewis, for taking your time to be able to have a vision to write those books to teach me some of the truths that you've learned about life. All of them started with a vision. And because they had a vision, I'm blessed. You're blessed. We need to thank God for all of those people who have those kinds of blessings. Thank you, Pastor Ray T. Myers, for preaching that tent revival on this property in 1949. Thank you, W.R. Tefteller, for ignoring the opposition and leading the organizing of this church. Thank you to the 10 people who joined the new church that day in 1949, who were willing to receive and simply follow the vision God gave them that day for this church. Thank you. You owe a thank you, a great debt of thank you and gratitude to all of them. Because someone cared enough to dream, to mentally pursue, and follow through and complete the vision God gave them, our lives today are being blessed. Not because of what you've done. Oh, this sanctuary is great. But you wouldn't have this sanctuary if they hadn't done their part. So you had to put the foundation under this place before you could build up the fancy place. Right. You've got a foundation of faith that's here. I've faced many difficulties in the 5 churches I pastored, even some minor ones here also in the last 7 months. I never considered giving up pastoring. I never considered leaving the ministry. My endurance that I had comes from the fact that God had given me a vision for my life in 1970, 48 years ago, and I cannot get away from it. I'm here today because of the power of the vision that God gave me when He called me to be a pastor. The Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. So that means the reason why most people without a vision will perish is because they quit. They give up when things get difficult. They lose heart. And it causes them to lose their vision. Listen to me. If you lose the vision for your marriage, you will lose your marriage. If you lose the vision for your career, you will lose your career. If you lose the vision for your church, you will lose your church. If you lose a vision for your ministry, you will lose the ministry that God's called you to do in this place. Here's what I'm trying to say. Let me give you some examples about losing your vision. When David had a vision, he was called a man after God's own heart, and he could defeat the giant Goliath. But when he lost his vision, he was defeated by his own lust for sex. When Samson had a vision from God, he defeated 1,000 Philistines. When he lost his vision, a little woman named Delilah defeated him with a pair of scissors, cut his hair. When Elijah had a vision, he could pray down fire from heaven. When he lost his vision, he ran in fear from one woman called Jezebel, ran for his life. When Noah had a vision from God, he could build an ark. When he lost that vision, he became a drunken fool. When Peter had a vision, he could preach on the day of Pentecost and see thousands of people saved. When he lost his vision, he couldn't even tell a young girl he was a disciple of Jesus. Here's my point. God has a personal vision for you. God has a purpose. God has a plan. God has a place in the church where He's called you to be. You're the only one that can receive that vision. You're the only one who can choose to follow that vision. No one else can make you do it. They can put you in the position, but you'll never be a leader if all you have is your position. You need to learn today that it's that vision from God that empowers you. It's the vision from God that gives you the strength to deal with all the stuff you have to deal with. It defines your goals for you, shows you where you're going to go, gives you something to shoot for, gives you something to keep your eye on instead of all the distractions around you. It guides you along the way. It motivates you with whatever you need to keep going. It helps you move from an ordinary life to an extraordinary life. And if you lose that vision for your life, you lose the power in your life. Joseph was a receiver of the vision. Nothing special, except he heard the vision, saw it, understood it, and never gave up on it. Then thirdly, though, let's look at the enemy of the vision. I want you to see the enemy of the vision. One more time, I want to read from the history of your church. The revival has been held. 6 weeks of it, 75, 76 people saved during that six-week revival. Everybody's excited, right? Everybody's just up in our, everybody's, wow, this is a tremendous place. God is in a holy place, and people are just flocking to Him being saved. I doubt if anybody else in Blount County or Knox County saw 75 people saved in those 6 weeks. Listen to what your history says. After some discussion of organizing a church within a short time, 28 people had indicated they would be interested in joining it. Arrangements were soon begun for an organizational meeting. The group, however, encountered opposition from the associational missionary. Are you kidding me? He's a missionary. Missionaries plant churches. He didn't want to plant churches. The group, however, encountered opposition from the associational missionary, who felt that another church was not needed. This dissent, along with neighboring pastors, not those who owned the beer joints, not the drug dealers, if they had any of them back then, but it's the preachers. You've got to be kidding me. This dissent, along with neighboring pastors, had its influence through the entire association. From a number of local pastors invited, only one, Reverend Sidney Staley Sr., agreed to attend the meeting and help with the organizing. One pastor out of all the pastors in Blount County. But listen, I like this. Undaunted. Undaunted with local opposition, Reverend Myers went to the Knox County and Sevier County Association, and he found ministers who were willing to come and help with the organizational meeting. Wow. Who do you think was the enemy? You think the associational missionary back then? I'm sure he's the man who loved the Lord. He just didn't have a vision. He had a job. And he wanted to keep that job, and he didn't want to make all the pastors mad at him. He might lose that job. But he didn't have a vision. All the other pastors, they were great guys too, I'm sure. Many of them were doing great jobs with their churches and serving the Lord the best they could. They just didn't want any more competition. They didn't have a vision. They just had a church that they wanted to grow along the way. But Joseph had a dream. Listen to me. It came with a high price tag on it. Dreams and visions don't come with cheap price tags. There is no such thing as a free lunch, and there is no such thing as a vision from God that does not face opposition. It's always there. Every part of your life, you run into something. You run into someone. There's a cost that has to be made along the way. Joseph was rejected by his brothers. He was criticized by his brothers. He was tempted in Potiphar's house. He was lied to about Potiphar's wife. He was thrown into prison falsely by Potiphar at that time. And all of that simply because he wouldn't compromise his moral standards and he wouldn't compromise the vision and the standards God had given to him. He seemed to be under a consistent attack from an enemy no matter where he was, no matter what he did, no matter how well he did it, no matter what his motives were, he was always under attack. Who was Joseph's enemy? Who was attacking him in all that he was trying to do? And as far as we know, he did everything right once he started growing up and maturing a little bit in every way. Was it his brothers? Were they his enemies? Did they cause all this problem? No, they didn't have anything to do with him being thrown into an Egyptian prison. They were miles and miles, hundreds of miles away from him. They didn't have anything to do with that, so they couldn't have been. Well, maybe it was Potiphar's wife. No, she wasn't in Canaan when his brothers threw him in a pit. It wasn't him. Wasn't her. Joseph's enemy is your enemy. It's Satan. He is your enemy. He may tell, oh, you can do this, and you can have this, and then you can be this, and you can do this. He hates you. He's jealous of you and your relationship with God, and he doesn't want you to have anything. He'll just give you enough, like the fishing line that you throw out there in the lake. He'll give you just enough bait to be able to hook you, to kill you, to destroy your vision. Satan, and don't miss this, Satan was his enemy, and his goal in Joseph's life was to destroy Joseph's vision. He didn't need to kill Joseph. What he had to kill was the vision, because then it's going to have an impact on God's chosen people and literally the whole world. He wanted to destroy the vision that had been given to Joseph. So Satan will use your husband sometimes. He will use your wife sometimes. He will use your children sometimes. He will use your parents sometimes. He will use those closest to you to be his instruments to keep you from following God's vision for your life. Satan attacks us by attacking the vision God has given to us. He knows that if he can destroy our vision, we're no longer a threat to do anything for the Lord. Because when our dream dies, our power dies, our passion dies, our hopes die, our vision dies, and sometimes our faith dies. But a faithful person's vision does not die just because they die. A person can die, but the vision doesn't die. Most of the 19 charter members of the original Madison Avenue Church are dead today, but maybe all of them. But the vision God gave them is still alive in you and in me at this time. We're the keepers of the fire. A God-given vision doesn't die when a man or woman dies. It dies when you ignore that vision, when you walk away from that vision, when you refuse to follow that vision. That's when the vision dies. Pastors, deacons, and members have come and gone over the last 68 years of history here of serving the Lord at Madison Avenue. You don't even remember most of the deacons, and the only reason you remember the pastors is because those funny-looking pictures they've got out there in the hallway. They've got them at Grace, too. One's really, really funny. A young kid is there. Some of them have been used by the enemy to try to kill the vision. But most of them, at least a few of them, have worked hard to fulfill the vision. In my 48 years as pastor, I have witnessed many attacks upon the vision God has given to the churches I've served. And I warn you today that the most dangerous attacks that you will ever face in this congregation will come from within the church, not from without the church. And if you'll look back, I'm sure, at your history of the recent past, whatever has taken place in the last 20 years, you will probably see that's exactly where it came from, within, not without. Any one of us can become Satan's instrument to destroy the vision if we don't protect it. So what you have to do is follow the vision, and every time you come to church, every time you worship, every time you're here, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever it may be, always bring your bucket of water with you. Always bring that bucket of water I told you about with you, because that's how you protect your vision. That's how you overcome the enemy, is by carrying around that bucket and squelching anything that would cause a fire and destroy the vision you have here. There will always be people who want to put their vision for the church in place of God's vision. You must understand that the enemy of your vision is not a person. It is Satan. He desires to sift you like wheat and even use you to help him destroy God's vision for Madison Avenue Baptist Church. At some point along the way, you have to make a transition. Every individual has to make a transition from being a believer of the vision to being a buyer of the vision. Well, I believe God has a vision for the church. Okay, but have you bought into it? Because if you buy into it, that means now you are a part of that vision. And now you're going to be one that pays the price. You're going to be one who has to give more than others give and do more than others do and pray more than others pray and serve more than others serve. You're going to have to be that kind of person if you're going to fulfill the vision that God has for this place. No vision becomes a reality without somebody paying the price for it. I've never heard any successful people say, getting to the top was much easier than I anticipated. Mm-mm. I can tell you with my experience at Grace Baptist Church, it was extremely hard. And I paid many, many, many times major, major price to be able to see the vision there come about. Getting to the top was not much easier than you and I will anticipate. There are no escalators that will take you to the top. Visions don't work unless you work. You must work and you must attack the enemy who is trying to destroy your vision and the vision that God has for this church. And never quit. But then lastly, fourthly, let's look at the blessing of the vision. The blessing of the vision. Who received the blessing of God when God's vision was fulfilled because of Joseph's position and ascension to be the second most powerful person in the world, because he was second only to the Pharaoh of Egypt, which was the center of the world at that time. Right. Who was blessed? Well, Joseph's brothers. They were losing everything they had in Canaan. They came all the way over there, over to Egypt, just to be able to buy some grain so they could feed their family. They ended up staying, and when they stayed, they received blessing after blessing. They had everything they'd ever dreamed and even more. And Jacob, his father, came in, and now he's able to be there with his grandsons of Joseph and see the family and all those things. I mean, all the brothers, the bad guys. These are the guys who threw him in a pit. And yet God blesses them with the vision. Joseph pays the price. They get the blessing. That's not fair. But that's what he did. Potiphar's wife, who lied about him. The bad woman in the story, she's blessed. Potiphar, her husband, the one who false news back then even, threw him into prison. He's blessed as a result of what Joseph's vision was all about. The prison guards who kept him locked up, the Pharaoh who thought he was in control, and every other person in that part of the world was spared and blessed because of Joseph's vision. That's the way it works, folks. You fulfill your vision, many, many other people are going to be blessed by the vision that you fulfill, that God gives to you. Everybody in Maryville has been blessed because of Madison Avenue Baptist Church in some degree. Everybody in Alcoa, everybody in Blount County has been blessed because of God's vision for Madison Avenue back in 1949. People in Tennessee, people in Haiti, people in Brazil, and many other places all across the world, because you give to the cooperative program of the Southern Baptist Convention, means that the entire world has been influenced by the vision that God gave to Madison Avenue back then. They've all been blessed because of the vision God gave to those 19 people in 1949. So here's the good news for today. The vision is still alive at Madison Avenue Baptist Church. Get an amen? All right, well, that was weak, but it's okay. I'll take that. After 68 years, after numerous attacks from the enemy, the vision is more alive today than ever before. You are being given another opportunity to write a new and even greater chapter in the history of this church. You're on the precipice of that kind of opportunity, I believe, right now. God is prepared to open a new door of opportunity for you to go through. I want you to know, the door isn't wide open for you. I've been here long enough to see. The door's not wide open for you. It's about like that. But God's got it cracked open. And He's waiting on someone to put their foot inside that door and open it wider. And the only one who will do that is the one who has a vision from God. The only one who will do that is willing to face the opposition for visionaries. The only one who will do that is the one who's willing to pay the price in every part of their lives. God's prepared to open it wide if you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear what His vision is for you today. If you're willing to follow that vision by faith, you can be that visionary. You can be that Joseph for Madison Avenue today. So, are you willing to go into the highways and hedges to reach the lost in your community? That's what the vision is. That's what the Bible says we ought to be able to do. Are you willing to make the changes necessary to reach the lost in the 21st century? Are you willing to make the changes? This is a different world, folks. What we did in the past doesn't necessarily work today. Are you willing to give financially to be able to help it? Money's not everything. I'm going to start talking about that in a couple of weeks. But it determines the size of your ministry. Little money, little ministry. Bigger money, bigger ministry. It is very important for everyone to be able to give financially. Are you willing to follow the spiritual leadership of your new pastor? How about that one? Or is he supposed to follow your leadership? Is he supposed to do what you tell him to do? Or is he a real spiritual leader that God's already given a vision to? And he wouldn't come here unless he saw the opportunity to be able to fulfill his God-given vision in this church. That's what I was looking for when I went to Grace. I didn't care what size it was. It was had 100 people less than what I had in the church I was pastoring at that time. But I saw the opportunity to fulfill the vision that I believe God had given me. He's going to come. You and I know I've got a lot of faith in your committee. There are some great men that are doing their absolute best and depending on the Lord. And when they find the right guy, he's going to be a leader. So don't try to lead him. Encourage him. It will be your job. If you have a question, go ahead and ask him. He'll tell you. But don't try to influence your position onto his vision. Right. Listen to what God's saying. Are you following the spirit? Willing to follow the spiritual leadership of your new pastor? See, some of the things they did in 1949 aren't effective today. My philosophy is, when the horse is dead, dismount. No matter how much you kick it, no matter how much you try to feed it, it's not going to move. When the horse is dead, learn how to dismount. If there's a better way to reach people with the gospel, I want to be the first to try it. And I did over and over and over again. I failed about 4 out of every 5 times. But every now and then, that 5th time, we hit a home run. And we saw hundreds of people come to know Jesus. See, that's what you do. You've got to. If you don't try, you'll never know. There's always someone that out there who will be saying to you whatever idea you have. Well, we've never done it that way before. Well, that won't work. We tried that once, and that didn't work. Listen to what the new pastor has to say, and help and encourage him. See, the poorest person in this church isn't the one who has no money in his pocket. It's a person who has no vision in his or her life. The most dangerous person in this church isn't the one who criticizes everything in the church and everyone. It's the one who has no vision for this church. Unlike Joseph, they have no dream of what God wants to do in their lives or in this church. So I expect your next pastor will be a younger man, right? Very, very likely. Will be certainly younger than me. That's not saying much. But if he's a younger man, that would mean he's going to have younger ideas. And that'll scare some of you to death. And you'll run to each other, and you'll start trying to shoot down any kind of possibility of the vision. He has younger ideas. I think that's good. You need to listen to him. Because if he's God's man for this church, he'll bring with him God's vision. And it'll look a little different maybe, but it will just be modern ways to fulfill the same vision that was given in 1949. See, God's been working in this place and fulfilling his vision for his church for 68 years. So what you need today is a recommitment to that vision. You don't need a new vision. You just need a recommitment to that same vision by those who have been called to be keepers of the fires of that vision burning here in 2017. Every member, this is a recommitment time. This is a time where you recommit, not just to your pastor, but to the vision that God has for his church. And praying and asking God to be able to reveal to you what your role in that vision is. This is your time to get yourself. God's getting your pastor ready. I think he's also trying to get you ready. Everyone that calls himself a member of the church. What you need today is that recommitment to keep the fires going. Will you be one of them? Will you seize the new opportunity to follow the 2017 model of a 68-year-old vision? I pray that you are. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to share and be a part of a vision. A vision that is alive and well here in this church. A vision that has the potential to be able to grow even greater and to be able to influence not just hundreds, even thousands of more people in the days and years to come. Lord, we're not thinking about next year or 5 years. We're thinking about another 68 years from today. If Jesus doesn't come back, what's this church going to look like? Lord, I pray today that you'll speak to the heart of everyone who calls themselves a member of Madison Avenue Church. I pray that today will be a personal time of commitment. Lord, help them, Lord, to be able to pray openly and honestly, and then throughout this week to seek after their role, their position, their purpose in this 2017 version of that vision that was given so many years ago. Lord, bless us in this invitation. May your will be done. And may you open up our hearts and our minds and our ears to be able to hear and receive the word that you have for us today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.